As no doubt you know, you could not help but know, I read a great deal to you from Swami Ramdas's writings. The reason I do this is because this great master had picked up his cross and had followed the Christ. Not in that way, perhaps, although he always carried a Christian Bible with him. He carried also the works of the Buddha, and he carried the works of Krishna. And these three scriptures he lived with as he sought God within himself. He was a completely illumined soul, and every word that came from that man's mouth was a jewel of wisdom from God. I feel very honored, very privileged to have spent a full year with him and to have had him by my side when I went through this most tremendous experience of walking the way of my own cross, of giving myself to God completely, of crucifying my human ego, and of having him help me with the transformation into the divine. I pay tribute to him in every way possible, as I do to my own guru, the one who started me on the path, who opened up a completely new world for me. He taught me the ways and the means. I went the way and used the means. And then at the final test, when man must decide if he wants to be his real self or continue on in the little human self, then God sent me to this great master. So this is why I read so much of his writings to you, because I consider him to be so great in God. The name of this article is The Divine Alchemy. At first, the deep shadows of sadness crossed and darkened my life. Palpable dimness clouded my soul. Agony and despair seized my being. For a time, the world disappeared from my thoughts. I longed, hungered, and wept for the great truth, the eternal test and peace. I struggled with the forces that offered resistance. I waited, prayed, and fought like a frantic child. Nothing would satisfy me but the fullest vision of the truth. If God is, where is he? I would see him. I would do all that is humanly possible to get him. I would even die for him, if death alone be the ransom to attain him. This was the one thought that burnt like a flame in my mind, a flame that grew in volume day after day until it consumed me completely. Now the great transformation came upon me. A supernal splendor dazzled my soul. I felt enveloped by and lost in a halo of divine effulgence. I was merged in unutterable bliss and peace. My old self is dead. I am now a new being, illumined with the light of God. It is the light not of this world of shadows. It is the light of lights, the transcendent first principle and root of all that exists, call it God or truth. I am blessed with the grace of the almighty truth. Now life is filled with sweetness ineffable. Now it flows in rhythms of joy. It sings of the glory of its own eternity. Its touch transmutes. Its sight awakens. Its very thought purifies and elevates. Such a life is mine. Such a God is mine, the ever-abiding, beloved Lord of my heart. Now I have found a joy that never fades. I have found a life that never dies. I have entered into an empire that knows no bounds, no decline, and no decay. I live in the realm of the immortals. I commune with incarnations, prophets, saints, and sages. I mingle my life, my light, with theirs. I sing in tune with their voice. My face is bewitched by their smiles. I dance with them in ecstasy. O supreme felicity, O supreme everlasting bliss, this is my life. Those who wish to share with me the blessings of this immortal life, step out from the sphere of death, fear, and sorrow. Rise from the veil of doubt, despair, and darkness. Renounce the region of desire, hate, wrath, and greed. Possess the consuming fire in which I was transformed by the divine alchemy of His grace. This is the way to the life immortal, or God. Our Bible passage this morning is from St. Luke, chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no way enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. I've chosen for my subject this morning, A Little Child Shall Lead Them. We're going to have a baptism afterwards, and we have a wonderful little soul with us. So I thought I'd like to talk to you about parents and children. Did you ever stop to think how wonderful it is when a little child is born from a mother's womb? How that little child, like everything on earth, starts from a seed, and it sprouts forth, and it becomes a living, breathing human being. It is tremendous when you stop to think about it. A seed is planted in the ground, and in accordance with the type of seed it is, it comes up in that image and likeness. The wonderful part of it is that out of all of God's creation, man alone is made in His image and likeness. His image and likeness. It is wonderful. Now He builds a body temple. And within that temple, He places His indestructible, eternal spirit. He is the life which permeates every single form which walks this earth. Every single thing. He's even in the inanimate objects as well as the animate. And it is wonderful when you get this universal vision and you follow the path that Ram Dass followed, as he described so vividly here. It was not an easy path. Any of you who have read In the Vision of God, In Quest of God, know what tremendous obstacles this man had in his path and how he kept on. He surmounted every single one of them. How did he do this? By simply chanting the name of God. By keeping God's name on his lips eternally, constantly. By seeing God in every form that came to him. In every experience of his life. And he became like a little child. I know this because I was with this master in very intimate circumstances. Day after day, many of us would gather in his room and we would listen to him. And his childlike laughter, his complete faith and trust in his Father God was the most beautiful thing you would want to see. For him, there was nothing but God everywhere. Nothing but light, nothing but bliss. All were his children, every one of them. And he had realized this oneness with God, which all of us as Christians strive to attain. And yet we say that Christ is the only one who can teach us And as I discussed with you last Sunday, there have been many, many Christs on this earth. Is God so limited that he can create only one? The Christ is in each and every one of us. Lo, I shall be with you always. Ye are the temple of God, he said. Within us dwells the wondrous, glorious God. He dwells within each one of us, both as Father and as Mother. And from the Father and the Mother come the child. Now, Jesus didn't want his disciples or those who followed with him to turn little children away. Many parents do this. Children should be seen but not heard. And this is very wrong, because children are people. You who are parents, or who in the future will become parents, may one day have to ask yourself, what would I do? Just what would I do if I had to begin writing every single thing I thought, said, or did to my child, about my child, in a book of life, and present it before the Father God on the last day? Would it in any way change your thoughts, your words, your actions from what you do every day if you have children? You have a tremendous responsibility. It is said, or was said, by a very great spiritual man, Bishop Fulton Sheen, that there are no delinquent children. There are only delinquent parents. That's a very profound statement, and it says quite a good deal, doesn't it? I would quarrel that with that a little bit, because many times you find parents who are very, very wonderful, who have tried with everything they have to give their child a good background, a firm foundation, to teach them the difference between right and wrong. And yet that child, maybe one out of six or seven that they have, doesn't turn out right. And the reason for that is because of the law of karma. Or as Jesus said, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. And these souls that turn out that way have come having sown seeds that were not good, and so they are reaping the harvest of that which they sowed before. And they bring into this lifetime a habit pattern, an unconscious knowledge of evil, and great desire to do the things that are not in accordance with God's laws. Now, the parent can certainly do everything to help such a one, but they cannot always be the final word, because this individual child, and as they grow to manhood or womanhood, is subject to the perfect law of God. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. I think that reincarnation has very definitely been established as a fact today. There have been many who have regressed into former incarnations, many who have had visions when they are lifted up into the final experience where they are trying to attain their oneness with God, and God, for his own plan and purpose, shows the individual soul perhaps some of the lifetimes which have preceded this one. And some of these things which are shown him account for the situations that he finds himself in now, the people that he finds himself with, because he has things to work out. And until he changes himself, he is never going to work them out. It is said that parents, in a sense, act as God the Father and God the Mother to the child. The father comes with wisdom, or he should, and the mother comes with love, or she should. But today on TV, more and more, we are hearing about child abuse. We are hearing how little children have been burned, how they have been mutilated, how they have been beaten up. The parent gets angry, or they don't want the child in the first place, and so they vent their anger on the child, and it is terrible to see. Yesterday, I happened to be in a place, and there was a mother there with a little boy. The little boy was going along looking at the things in the counter, and he happened to step in front of her. And she hauled off and just cuffed him, the meanest, hardest cuff that you had ever seen. And she said, "Don't you dare to stand in front of me like that. Don't walk in front of me." Well, the little boy just recoiled in shock. And I looked at his face afterwards, and I saw what that child went through being a child of that particular parent. And I looked at her, and yet she was perfectly peaceful when she talked to everybody else. But she was venting whatever was inside of her on that child. I stared at her because I was very displeased with what she had done to that child. And apparently the power of my thoughts got to her, because she turned around, she looked me right in the eye. And I just sat and stared at her, and then I looked at the boy. And her face got red, and she turned away. She knew that she hadn't done the right thing. So then she said to him in a much softer voice, "Just don't walk in front of me. I don't want you to do this." Now, the child needs discipline. There is no question about that. It needs discipline. But it doesn't need torture. It doesn't need abuse. A child is like a delicate flower when it comes into the world. Here is a whole new world that is put before it. It has so much to learn. And what it learns at the mother and the father's knees is going to influence it for the rest of its life. Don't forget that the youth today are going to make up the nations of tomorrow. Now, we have been living through a very, very bad siege of dishonesty, of lies, of deceit, of cheating in every way. But these things are also good when they come along from the standpoint that they are brought out into the open. And they teach us what is going on underneath. You know, it is many times I think like a cake that has just a beautiful frosting on, all decorated up. And when you cut into the cake, it is all rotten and mildew. And that's the type of thing we have had to exist under for a long, long time. And it is high time it changed. So, when the things happen that have happened to this country, and in fact to many countries around the world today, they bring things out into the open. And people are horrified at what has been going on. So people are punished. People are taken down from their thrones. And a new order starts to emerge from that. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a period of time. New laws are made. And some people, in spite of all that comes out, in spite of the disgrace that has been attached to the names of some, still they think they can get away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. Why? Because you carry the eternal Lord within yourself. That is why he is omniscient. That is how he knows every single thing that happens, even unto a sparrow which falleth. Everything. Wherever you go, you take God with you, because he is life. What is life? Life is intelligence, it is energy, and it is willpower. When the little child is born, you start to teach it. You teach it that it can touch this, but not that. Because if it touches this, either it will damage it, or perhaps the child itself will be injured. And so the child begins to learn at the parent's knee. But the child is at a very impressionable age, right from the beginning. Don't think that because a child is just a babe in your arms, that it can't understand what you say. Because that brain takes in every single thing and knows. Many have come on this plane remembering former incarnations. They come with a certain knowledge at birth. It is found now that children can be taught in the mother's womb. In India, this has been known for thousands of years. So all of the time they are carrying the child, they teach that child while they are carrying it. They teach it about God. They repeat and chant the name of the Lord. They go through worship services. It is so tremendous when you get to know the people of that nation and to think that we send missionaries over there, when everything that we have as Christians originated in the cradle of all religions. And that was 5,000 years before Christ, and goodness knows how many years before that, but it is only written, has been written for that many years. They have had the sign of the cross. They have had their Savior, Krishna, which means the Christ. They have the Trinity, the Father, at first the Spirit, and then the Father, the Mother, and the Child. And Christ came from the Holy Ghost, and Krishna came from Vishnu, the Preserver. One is the Comforter, one is the Preserver, exactly the same thing. When you really start to study the Scriptures, and you can verify what you study through historical writings, that this is the way it truly was, instead of taking it as you have been taught to believe, it is, believe me, an eye-opener. And it is my wish, and that which I live for, to teach all who come before me the truth, and especially the little children, to teach them that there is but one Father God, that regardless of race, color, creed, or anything else, we are all children of that one Father God, equal in His sight, and that each has their own form of worship in accordance with the language which they have been taught, with the customs of their people, but all, right from the beginning, is the same. God is immutable. He didn't create a part of His creation one way, or His creatures, and another part another way. Because He is the very life, the very spirit within each and every one. Each and every one. Now, in our Christian scriptures, we have the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Today, that seems to have been forgotten, as have many of the commandments. And it is too bad. But it is also the fault of the parent, because the child needs and wants discipline. It needs and wants discipline, but it must be given discipline lovingly. It must be given discipline in a way that it can learn. Instead of saying to your child, don't do this, no, 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 all the time, say, come on, let us explore this. Wouldn't you like to do this? And do it with them. Don't be too busy to pay attention to your children. And remember that everything that you are thinking, saying, and doing with regard to your child is in truth being written in the book of life. And on the last day, that you will be accountable for whatever you have done with regard to this child. It's an important thing to remember. A child comes as the greatest blessing, because that child comes not only to be taught by you, but to teach you. How many lessons I have learned from my children. Every one of them I am so proud of, because they've been good children. Good children. But perhaps that is because, right from the beginning, I taught them about God. They had Sunday school. I taught them about the real truth behind the parables. I taught them to regard all people as their brothers and sisters. And they have friends in every race. And I think that's wonderful. Bigotry, narrowness, has no place in the life of a real Christian. Jesus didn't teach this way. A new commandment I've given to you, and I keep repeating this over and over again, that ye shall love one another as I have loved you, and your neighbor as yourself. As He loved us. His love for us was so great that He went through the experience of the human death, the death of the human ego, in order to show us the way that we too must go if we are to pick up our crosses, which are our bodies, and follow Him, emulate Him in every detail, even unto death. But don't forget, there is no such thing as death. There is only the death, so-called, or the transformation of the human into the divine. from the Son of Man into the Son of God, from the Savior into the one who's become the Christed One, the one who knows all things, who has earned the privilege of sitting at the right hand of the Father, who is one with Him. How beautiful, how wonderful that is. And to think that we throw away our heritage every day. It is important that you teach your child about God from the beginning. Teach him to sit in the meditative posture, perhaps in the beginning with a pillow under the buttocks. But many of them can get in the full lotus posture. And the reason you sit like that instead of on your knees, you know, if you are constantly on your knees start to ache. And instead of thinking about God, you're thinking, oh, my knees, how they ache. I wish I could get out of this position. And you aren't thinking about God at all. You're thinking about your body and how it hurts. But you see, the Hindus developed this method many, many centuries ago of sitting in the full lotus posture, because then all of the currents in the body are balanced evenly. And you can put your full attention upon God. Your spine is straight. Your whole body is at full attention. Your hands in the receiving position, ready to receive whatever God is going to give you inside. And so you put your full attention at this point between the eyebrows. You look there for the spiritual eye, the great light of your own soul. You think only of God. You chant to Him. You sing to Him. And when you talk to your child about this, tell him that there is a beautiful, beautiful place right in the center of his forehead. It is filled with light. It has a golden rim on the outside. And this is the gold of cosmic energy. And in the inside is the blue light of the Christ. It is a beautiful, deep blue. And in the very center is the five-pointed silver star of the East that the wise men saw many years ago. Only it is right within you. And teach them that that is the gate to heaven within themselves. And if they will pray to God, if they will love Him, if they will serve Him, if they will obey His laws in every way, that one day that star, which is the gate to heaven within themselves, will open. And they can go in and visit God. And they can sup with Him and He with them. And He will take them on His lap and hold them and give them of His love, of His wisdom. I have seen little children who all of a sudden have said, oh, I see the star. Isn't it beautiful? Many years ago, I may have told you this, I was down in Mexico, and there were 80 little children who were being trained under a great woman saint. Believe me, she was. She had nothing, and yet she stopped at nothing to get what she had to get for these children of hers. She gathered them from every place. Many of them hadn't had any clothes, they hadn't had any water to drink, and very little food. They were living in a barren spot, just a squatter's row. And she went and begged and borrowed from every church group that she could find. She got clothes for them. She built a single room and used it as a schoolroom. She talked a dentist and a doctor into coming in and giving them free service there. There had been many who had been living together, had children out of wedlock, and one day she went down and got a priest or a minister, I don't remember which, and brought him up, and she had a mass wedding of 100 couples. Now that is something, really. She went around and she found out which child belonged to which couple. She had a talk with each one of them, and so she made them all legal. This was the way this woman was. But anyway, I felt it a great privilege to know her. And she had great love for me. She always used to say to whoever was with me, you know, we love each other. We love each other. And she'd say, Mother, I shall see you up there. Well, she's no longer in the body, but believe me, she went to the president of Mexico and begged for permission to carry on with her work, asked for help, and she got it. And finally, before she passed on, she saw that her work was secured. She searched around until she found a proper organization to take over and continue the work that she had started. She worked for many, many years this way. And I wish you could have seen this woman's face. It was so filled with the light of God. How beautiful she was. And she said to me one time, you know, Master said to me, if you will just whisper, I shall hear you and I shall come and help you. Because you see, one who has realized his oneness with God, which is the sole purpose that all of us are here, has this power to help those even who follow with him to God, even after he has left the body. Because there's no such thing as death again, as I say. There is only life. We go to higher and higher realms of spiritual understanding. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. And when you teach your little children that way, when you yourself set them the example of going to God, by attending church, by giving brotherly love to everyone, by obeying the Ten Commandments of God, by associating with the right people, do you suppose that a child is to blame when it sees its father or its mother drinking liquor, becoming intoxicated, smoking cigarettes, perhaps on drugs, perhaps having illicit relations with other people or having divorced, bring somebody else to live in the same house where their mother or their father lived, that they're going to not have trouble? Of course they are. You've got to be the example. And you say, don't you dare smoke cigarettes. Don't you dare take a drink. This is not right for you to do. And the child has every right to say, if it is not right for me, how come you do it? How come you do it? You must be the living examples for your children. You must live the life of God. You must teach them to meditate. Teach them the few simple techniques that we have given, with the exception of Kriya. You must teach them these things, and you will find that your children will grow up to be God people. But teach them the fascinating lives of the saints. Read to them about their experiences. It isn't a dead, dried, cut-up thing with nothing to do, no fun in it. But rather, it's the most exciting adventure in the whole wide world. Why? Because God is everywhere equally present. And no matter what you do, what adventure you go into, God is there. When you are with God, you are in business with every business in the universe. When you are with God, you are one with every single person in this universe. All the experiences. But it is important what you send out from yourself. Because every thought, every word, every deed carries with it a vibratory force. Even the flicker of an eyelash carries with it its own vibration. It is when you are able to sit in the silence of your own soul, in the temple of God within yourself, and forget everything in the outer sense. Go beyond time and space. Go beyond duality. And you will, if you concentrate hard enough. You go beyond all of these things and you come face to face with the great light of your own soul, which is to say, God within you. We are made in his image and likeness. But we are given intelligence. We are given energy. And we are given will. And in accordance with how we use this will depend on the future generations and therefore the world tomorrow. Now we are in this stage of the upswing when all must go back to God, all of us. And because we have all been going away from God, living in darkness, accepting things as truth which were not in truth at all but which were merely parables, it is very, very difficult because these forces, these outgoing forces, want to keep on going. They want to keep you from going to God, from realizing your oneness with him. And you must not permit this. You must go with the magnetic force, the good thief on your cross. Because the forces of good and evil, the positive and the negative, are symbolic. Or the two thieves, rather, are symbolic of these forces within your own being. Now, they've been drawn as pictures on the outside of the Christ being crucified. We have been taught that this is the way it is. But this was merely for the purpose of teaching the people of that day what actually was inside. Because as I stand upright with my arms outstretched and my feet together, I am in the form of a cross. And it is upon this cross that I, the Savior, the Son of Man, the human ego, must be crucified. It is only then, having descended into the subconscious mind or the hell of my own being, having gone through the experience of releasing the consciousness from the three bodily jars, and having been resurrected can I ascend into the heaven of my own being. And this ascension, even as the descension, takes three separate times or three separate days, because every day is as 1,000 days in the Lord and 1,000 days as a day. You see, we are so prone to take things literally, and so many mandates have been imposed upon us. We have had rules, we have had canons, we have had regulations, and as I told you last Sunday, the Immaculate Conception was not conceived until the year 1841. Mary then was given this honor. 1841. Yet the people of today have been taught to think that this began at the time of Christ 2,000 years ago. Now this is an historical fact. And if you will delve into history, you can find out for yourself into church history that this is the truth that I tell you. But it doesn't change the eternal truth, because all of these things that are contained in every great scripture of the world are right within yourself. The experiences that are related there are the things that you, as a child of man in the beginning and then a child of God, will eventually go through. Now you think maybe that this is terrible, but God never gives us anything that we can't stand. When we think we have gone as far as it's absolutely possible, He pushes us still a little farther, and we say to Him, God, I can't take any more. But He knows you can, and the reason He knows it is because He's the one that's doing it. We think that we are constantly doing things, but yet we do nothing of ourselves. Jesus was so wise when He made this statement. I myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. And again today, He said that nobody was good but God, and that included Himself. And yet, look how we have deified the Son of Man. When He becomes the Son of God, then He is one with God. Then and then alone should He be worshipped. But when we are born the Son of Man, when we are still living in this human consciousness, subject to all of its errors, making mistakes in our choice and our use of our will, then it is something else again. I want to emphasize, and I want to emphasize it very strongly, the responsibility of every parent with regard to their child. You have a responsibility that has been placed in your hands by God. He has molded this little form. It is a form not made with hands. But His living, everlasting spirit is within that form. And it is up to each and every one of us to view that as a sacred responsibility to mold the life of that child as a potter would mold the clay into something that is beautiful, wonderful, a fragrant flower to be laid at the feet of God. If you will only do that, you will find that you yourself will get your God realization from having had that child. Because you cannot possibly teach your child and be what you should be as a parent and still refrain from going to God yourself, because you must be the example. The child teaches you patience. Many times it will confront you with things within yourself or things that you have said or done and bring you up short. And you will take a good look at yourself and think to yourself, this is not the right thing to do. I went through this. I went through it very drastically one time. And I used to wind up many, many years ago, this was a screaming match with one of my children. All of a sudden, she went out one day and she slammed the door and she'd had the last word. And I stood there and I thought, now look, who's supposed to be the mother here? You know? I'd done the very best I could under very difficult situation, and circumstances, but nevertheless, this was not a good situation. And I stood still, and I thought, well, I certainly wasn't very much in control of myself. This has to change. The next time it got started, I kept quiet. And I listened. And each time I would go down and buy this child a gift afterwards and give it to her. Well, I think it was about the third or fourth time, all of a sudden, as I did this very same thing, keeping my mouth shut totally, she burst into tears and asked my forgiveness and told me how naughty she'd been. Pretty soon she was bringing all the children from school to see Mother. Now, I didn't change that situation by being like she was and screaming at her. I changed that situation by changing myself, by realizing my own responsibility. I had to do that. Because if I hadn't, I could never expect her to be anything, nor any child of mine. So this is the way we learn from our children. This is the way they take us to God. Because they teach us patience, they teach us tolerance, they teach us everything in the world, believe me, before they're through with us. We think we are so wise, you know. But believe me, many of them that are coming in, these souls today are tremendous souls. They're souls that have been very, very highly developed before. You have geniuses at the age of 3 and 4, little ones, and I have seen this on television, I'm sure that you have, who can play the piano. I remember one little fellow, he's a little black boy, and he sits at the piano, and he can really play, and he wound up by getting up in the seat and playing a few chords with his little seat. But he is tremendous, absolutely tremendous. He's in many of the commercials, and I'm sure that you've seen him. And there are many who come with great knowledge of science. My gracious, if just think of what they're teaching the children in school today and that these children are able to absorb all of the things of this space age. I can't speak for you, but believe me, I can speak for me. The children in my day who went to school could possibly have understood what these children are being forced to learn today. It's true. So we have a whole new generation coming in. And we as parents better realize the tremendous, the sacred responsibility that we have. First, change yourself, and you will change thousands. But you have to be the example if you want your child to be a child of God. The world will change. The mother rocks the cradle of the world, it is said. But so also the Father, with his love, his wisdom, and his constant guidance. In a sense, you both become masters, and you train your child as the human mother and father for the day when the spiritual mother or the spiritual father will come, the guru. And that is a Sanskrit word that means one who takes you out of the darkness into the light of God within yourself. So obedience is absolutely necessary. Knowledge gives learning, you see. But willpower is what determines character. And so if you will guide the will of your child while still letting them exercise that will, you will have children that you will be proud of. And we will have new nations upon the earth, a new world, a new universe in God. And gradually, it will all go into a shining ball of light with nothing but the light of God everywhere. Now let us all close our eyes and pray to him. Oh, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I may see thy face. Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may hear the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father,
may
thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to thee. Saying this closing prayer, God told me that he wanted me to say one more thing. There is so much said, as I mentioned before, about maiming the bodies of little children, disfiguring them, torturing them. But don't forget that it is far worse to maim and disfigure their souls, their minds, their consciousness. I work with many, many people, and the damage that has been done to them, sometimes it has been physical, but that isn't the worst part. It is the damage that has been done to their minds, to their hearts, to their souls. And they have been made cripples inside. And it is really something to have to work them out of that. It is really something. And the only thing that will ever do it is love. Love for God. Love for man, love for all creation. Well, today, as I said, we're going to baptize a new little one. She's been very good. She was supposed to come last in a group of children that were to be born right around this time, and instead she turned out to be the first one, so we're going to baptize her first. Wilmer, would you come up, please? I think it must be because Wilmer is such a spiritual man. He's being asked to be godfather to all of these children. He's getting quite a family. It reminds me of the last sentence in Master's autobiography where he said, "Lord, I sometimes think that thou hast given this monk a very large family." Would you stand in your place with me? Well, I got everybody up here, and I don't have much Christian ceremony, if you'll excuse me for a moment. First in everything, and that's the first time I've done that. Will you all close your eyes, please, and pray with me. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God.
Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Saints and Saviors of all religions.
Saints and Saviors of all religions.
We bow to you in all love and reverence.
We bow to you in all love and reverence.
May we be filled with the bliss of thy presence.
May we be filled with the bliss of thy presence.
As we witness this holy ceremony.
As we witness this holy ceremony.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together to invoke God's power and love, as exemplified by Jesus and the Masters, that we may christen this soul that has come to dwell among us with the spiritual light and consciousness of the holy vibration, the Holy Ghost. The blessed Lord Jesus has said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." He also said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." May this spiritual baptism water the seed of spirit which dwells in the soul of this child of God. Now, this red rose is a symbol of Spirit's outward power or nature. The white rose is a symbol of Spirit and His truth and omniscience, which we pray will be manifested through this soul. You can keep these as remembrance of this day. Pamela Marie Roberts, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May your life be lived in His light and His glory. The lighting of this candle symbolizes the flame of Spirit now burning in this child's temple. Kamala, you came from the garden of God to express His love, His light, His wisdom, His joy, and His laughter. Welcome. Know that we receive you with divine love and that you will be ever in our hearts. Learn the highest wisdom during your sojourn with us. Make your wisdom lead souls out of the darkness of ignorance into the light of God's presence. Make your wealth the bliss of the Spirit. Feel all hearts as your own, because all come from the one heart of God. Let your one desire be for Him alone. Make your image the flawless image of Spirit. Make the whole world your country. Know that all men are your brothers, regardless of nationality, race, color, or creed, because all are the children of the one Father God. Make your religion the achievement of oneness with God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I have been asked to be Godmother. Wilmer has been asked to be Godfather. And this entails taking over the responsibility for the spiritual welfare of the child in case anything should happen to the mother and the father. I agree to do this to you, Wilmer. Now may we all pray. Heavenly Father,
may
Thy love shine forever.
May Thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of our devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of our devotion.
And may we be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
And may we be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to Thee.
And bring them to Thee.
Make our souls Thy temple.
Make our souls Thy temple.
Make our hearts Thy altar.
Make our hearts Thy altar.
Make our love Thy home.
Make our love Thy home.
Be Thou the only King.
Be Thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of our consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of our consciousness.
There were just a few left when I came out, and I was telling everybody what a tremendously spiritual soul this was, and just then she put both little hands up as though in blessing before her. She was 8 months to start with. Well, I suppose I better give her a call. I hate to.
Thank you.